Okay, everybody, welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. I can't say I'm sure the date. The reason I'm not sure the date is because I told my kids that their Purim vacation was longer than their winter vacation. So they told me, you see, that's how short our winter vacation is. I said, or you look at the flip side, which is the positive, look how long Purim vacation was. So Baruch Hashem, I said to my husband, I feel like, do I actually have a life outside of Kenai Nahara, being home? They're not babies anymore, you understand? We usually have a routine. Just felt totally hefker. But it is Wednesday evening, I think it's March the 15th, and we are learning Lidui Nishmas, and the Zeichon Nishmas, Mir Mifran, Mir Mbas Chai Mitzchak, Allah HaShalom, Mir Nishama Valiya, the Mir of the Torah. Forgot to say last week, I think I did know before class, that she has a new granddaughter, Kenai Nahara, who is named after her. There is a new Miriam, a namesake, so she should really be a source of much Yiddish and Nachas to mamish the whole family and to your mother's Nishama. Zeichon HaLefacha. Has a Miriam?
Yes, Miriam.
Beautiful. Baruch Hashem. Okay, ladies, let's go. So we're on page 50 of the second Sefer. So last time was a little funny because I said we're really going to go through the page. And then we really did not go quickly through the page. But Lemaisa, at the end of class, we did get through the page. But I said we're just going to backtrack a little bit just to add some insights to what we read through quickly. I just want to add on one thing Elisheva shared with me. Thank you very much. Because last time the topic of women and tefillah and the chiyuv of women in davening came up. And I said we need to be very clear that women are mechuyuv in tefillah every day. And we said it sort of dumbs down women, excuse the expression. But if we say that women are totally pater from tefillah. So Elisheva shared an excellent link with me, which is on YUTorah.org. Rav Tzvi Sabalavsky Shlita, who happens to be one of my brother's Rebbeim, and a very good shir. It's only about 35 minutes, and you don't need like an hour time. I was able to listen to it one morning driving around town, but you shared it also.
You shared it with me.
So, and I think I sent it to Susan. Also, it's only a half hour shir. If anybody's interested, he goes to all parts of Tula, really from Berkas HaShachar, Hubsuke de Zimra, Shema, and Shemana Esra. I will be happy to send you the link. It is extremely useful. He says the halacha. It's very, very clear. But just to reiterate, we should not think we're not mechayiv in Tula. We absolutely are mechayiv in Tula.
For women.
On women's obligation in tefillah. And I'm happy to send you the shir link if you're interested in it. Please email me. I will be happy to send it out. Okay, with Tzvi Sabalavsky, I could send it to you after class. One thing that I found fascinating, Elishav, which I told you, he says, people think women are pater mitzvahs aseh shazman grama. Mitzvahs aseh shazman grama. And women are not mechuyv, are not obligated in time-bound positive mitzvahs. You know how many time-bound positive mitzvahs there are? Did I hear right? Six. You knew that. Six time-bound positive mitzvahs. So women always think, oh, we're pater from such. There are six mitzvahs that we're pater from. Okay? So I highly recommend the shir. My thanks to Elisheva for sharing it with me. I will be happy to send you the shir link. Very important. Okay. Now let's go to page 50, please. Right. So let's just go to the middle paragraph. If one tries to awaken his soul with a very deep idea, he has a small chance of success. Only people with very subtle minds can awaken their soul in such a matter. So we're talking about emunah pshuta and waking yourself up in the soul of inside of you with this emunah pshuta. Generally, the deeper concepts are more complex. One cannot sense real simplicity through them. And in fact, it's in this week's, where are we? We're in the middle of page 50.
Oh.
Middle paragraph on page 50. And in fact, it is in this very week's Parsha, we are in Parsha's Kitisa, of course, Parsha Kisisa, when we have the terrible sin of the Chet HaEgel, the people fall drastically from their very high level, their very high madrega of Ma'amad Har Sinai. They fall terribly. The shattering of the Luchos really represents the shattering of Knesset Yisrael. And if the people aren't worthy, then the Luchos aren't worthy, and we go hand in hand with Torah, which is why Hashem wanted to destroy us. But what did Moshe Rabbeinu ask for? Moshe asked, what did he want to see from Hashem? Let me know your ways. He said, I'm trying to see if I can find it right now. And he asked to see Hashem's ways, and he wanted to understand in a very deep level how Hashem operates and how Hashem works. It's a very deep level. We have, of course, Yod Gimel Midas HaRachamim. I can't find it at this exact second, but I don't want to take the time. Moshe asks to see Hashem's cover, and not only to see his cover, but to understand his ways. And it's something that we can understand, and that's very deep. And that's why if we try to go into too deep, complex ideas, if we move past the Mupshuta, because we can't understand Hashem on such a deep level, we run into trouble. And that's what the Mechaber is saying, if you want to awaken your soul with a very deep idea, you have a small chance of success. Because how much can we understand the Ribono Shel Olam? That's sort of a rhetorical question, because the answer is not really anything. People were waiting in line, I'm quoting from Rav Elimelech Biderman, Parashat Zachar. People were waiting in line to speak with the Rebbe of Tosh. The Rebbe noticed a certain pauper waiting right in front of a wealthy man. So the pauper is first, the wealthy man is second, and the Rebbe gives the wealthy man precedence. The wealthy man goes first, and the pauper feels very slighted, and he felt so embarrassed. And he went in and he said, I used to think, at least in Tosh, there is justice. The wealthy and the poor are treated equally, but I see here there's no justice. Why was the wealthy person taken in before me? Just because he has money doesn't mean he deserves more respect than me. The Rebbe calmed him down. He honored him. He gave him money with. He gave him an envelope with money. Who just gave the Rebbe the money? The wealthy person. The wealthy man and the pauper. In other words, the Rebbe did it on purpose. He understood that this wealthy man was going to give a donation, and he was going to give the donation to the pauper. The wealthy man and the pauper met as they were leaving the Rebbe's home. The wealthy man offered the pauper a ride in the car. The pauper sat down in the front seat. He opened the envelope. He was so anxious to know how much did the Rebbe of Tosh give him. The wealthy man recognized the same envelope. It was the same envelope he just gave the Rebbe. But he made a U-turn, and he went to the Rebbe, and he said to him, why didn't the Rebbe at least open the envelope so he would know how much I gave him? Why do I need to know, said the Rebbe. The main thing is the poor man who was supposed to get the money got the money. And the pauper heard, he realized he erred, he suspected the Rebbe for slighting him. It's a beautiful story also in terms of Dan Kaf Sechus. How often do we judge people to the side of doubt when we're supposed to give them the side of benefit, of merit? He realized what happened for his own good. In retrospect, says Rabbi Biderman, it's easier to recognize everything is for our benefit. And that's exactly what Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. You could see my back. And the commentators of Salvechuk explains, what do you mean you could see my back but you can't see my front? What does that mean? When you're going forward into something, you can't very often understand it. But in retrospect, oh, now you can see the back, so to speak. Now, from the back view, from behind, it makes sense. In retrospect, it's easier to recognize everything is for our benefit. It's important, though, to believe this from the onset. Even when we don't understand why matters should be the way they are, we trust that everything that happens is for the good. Oh, this is why I really started, because a Holocaust survivor once suffered immensely. He was speaking with the Chazon Ish. He's having a hard time. So the Chazon Ish shows the man a Tosfos on the Gemara. He asked the man to explain it. The man didn't understand Tosfos. He offered an interpretation that wasn't correct. So the Chazon Ish corrected him. So the man tried again. The Chazon Ish corrected him. Finally, the Chazon Ish said, if you can't even understand a Tosfos, how do you expect to understand Hashem's ways? It's so profound. It's so true. We want answers to all our questions. But Lamaisa, we can't have answers to all our questions. And that's why if we try to awaken a soul with a very deep idea, we have a small chance of success. Only people with very subtle minds can awaken the soul in such a manner. Generally, the deeper concepts are more complex. One cannot sense real simplicity through them. I really want to be able to find... Did someone just say something?
Yeah, I don't like the Chazon Ish story, but the man that...
Because the person was in so much pain. Right, I understand. Because the person was in such pain because he survived Churban Europa, you mean?
Right. I mean, I understand. There are people that will never really know Tosfos. That doesn't mean that they can't be God-fearing.
What did you say? I'm trying to find something.
Because the person, there will be many people that are just not on a level of learning. Ever. Maybe they'll never be on that level.
I understand.
They are plain Pashut Amuna. In other words, I don't think that equates...
That wasn't the point. The point was that if you can't even understand this, how in the world do you understand...
It was a life lesson. That's right.
Not by doing a Tosfos necessarily, but by having the Chesed and the Amuna and getting to the Holocaust with Amuna and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why I understand why the Tosfos example was used.
It wasn't about the learning. It wasn't about the level of learning. He was trying to teach him and trying to teach all of us. You know, someone brought up a question today in Parsha class that I really don't have an answer for. I'll just put out there. It's come up before in the past. It's a fascinating question, actually. Did you have time to listen? It's okay if you didn't. Okay, so someone asked a very good question. They did by Chet HaEgel, they were over on Gilui Arayu, Shvichus Damim, and Avodah Zara. Avodah Zara, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, Shalucha Meretz Mitzrayim. Shvichus Damim, they killed Chur. That's why Rashi says they shouldn't be culpable for killing a Melech. Chur was from Yehuda, he's the son of Miriam and Kaleb, and a Kohen, him, on the same day. Okay, and Gilui Arayus, Rashi says, Vayhimi Mechras, Vayakum Litzachik. It's in the, towards the beginning of Perek Lama Beis. Litzachik denotes sport, Gilui Arayus. So there's a question really on this Rashi. What's the question on the Rashi? Who's doing Gilui Arayus? What do we always say about the woman by Egal Zav? Adultery. Gilui Arayus is adultery. What do we say about the woman by Egal? They didn't sin. So I'm saying we have questions. I can't understand the simple Rashi.
Oh, right.
That's my point. That's what the Chazon Ish was trying to show. I said I don't have an answer for you.
But Gilui Arayus is it only adultery?
I think so.
It's not just any Arayus?
It's illicit sexual relationships.
I know. So
who are they being with if the women weren't sitting? You're saying it's two men together?
Correct.
Yeah. I would assume.
Is that considered a Gilui Arayus?
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. In the classic way that we understand this, I'm bringing this up because of the story that we just told. It was that if I have a question at a simple Rashi, so how could I understand? But your comments let me have time to find what I was looking for, okay? So Baruch Hashem. Moshe says, Va'ato, when he's davening for the people, post-Egal, Imna matzasi chen be'enecha, if I found favor in your eyes, hodi'eni na'as drachacha ve'eda'acha. Let me know your ways and I will know you. What is Moshe asking? On a very deep level, because there's no simplicity to knowing God's ways. It's not possible. I want to know your ways. I should know you, so I should find favor in your eyes. By the way, this is Rav Shem Shofar Hirsch speaks about it, that whoever attempts to understand this passage in the Chumash is treading upon the most deep and profound concepts in Torah, that Moshe asked to see Hashem's presence. So again, Harini nas kvodecha, show me your honor. I will pass over you. Lo tucha liros as panai. You can't see my face. Ki lo yir aneha adam v'chai. If you understand Hashem's ways, you're not alive anymore in this world. You only understand Hashem's ways when you're not alive anymore. As long as you're here, you don't understand. And Rav Soloveitchik says, what Moshe learned is that God's presence on earth is not always discernible while the events themselves occur. We said you could see the back, but not the front. While the events occur, God's presence is not always discernible. As his presence is passing by, we're thrust into the cleft of a rock. Hashem's hand, so to speak, covers our understanding. The frontal view, lirot et panai, lirot es panai, is not illuminating. Quote, in retrospect, years later, when the event has already passed by, interpretations suggest themselves. Understanding is frequently possible. Going backward, this is what I said to you outside, but I said I wanted to find inside. Achore, we can discern contours of meaning.
So Nevuah didn't give a person much more understanding.
Say it again, please.
Nevuah. What was the whole concept of Nevuah?
So Hashem reveals himself to certain people on a very high level, but we're talking about us.
Moshe was asking, you don't understand it, only the back. You don't really understand what's happening. But if he had a certain nevuah,
he could not understand Hashem's ways. Man always wants to understand Hashem's ways. The Gemara speaks about this, and we can't.
Okay?
We can't. And that's why we need simplicity. The foundation of our emunah has to be emunah peshuta, what we call. Here's a wonderful, Here is a wonderful example of a very simple idea that can be used to awaken the soul. Approach Hashem and say, Master of the world, you're our father. We spoke about Avinu Malkeinu, who was pre-Amtainis Esther, remember? We have to know we are Meshubad. Hashem freed us from power and Hashem freed us from Amalek, but power represents the gaiva within each one of us, and Amalek represents the chance happening within each one of us. So we have to say to those forces within each, you are not my master. Hashem is my master. I thought of something interesting. I don't think I told the story here, but I told it somewhere else. But I'm going to add a ha'ara onto it. Because we're talking about not being meshubah to the Yetzer Hara, but rather being meshubah to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The people by Chet HaEgel were meshubah to the Yetzer Hara. Look what happened. And And Bavavi Mishkan Evna says, we learned a long time ago, within every person is every biblical character in the Torah. So we all have a paro inside of us, gaiva. We all have an amalek with inside of us. We all have the elements of chet ha'ego with inside each and every one of us. So Rabbi Dov Lipman relates that he had his aha moment of when he first moved to Israel, where he realized why he was living there. A few months after he was there, he was in a cab, and the cab driver not only said, Rabbi Dov Lipman, was he not wearing a kippah, that's what he says, but he was, had tattoos and multiple earrings. And the cab driver said to him, how are you today? So Dov Lipman said, Ani ayif. So the driver said, you should not say Ani ayif. It says two times in the Torah, ayif, and both times are negative. One time is when Esav comes home from hunting and he says, Haliteini na min ha'adom ha'adom azeki ayef anochi. Pour into me some of that red, red stuff because I'm tired. It's associated with Esav. The other time it says, ayef is in Parshas B'shalach va'ata ayef ve'gei v'lo yare alokim. It's associated with Amalek. You are weak and tired. You're weary. Amalek didn't fear God. So the cab driver said, you shouldn't say any ayef. You should say, I've had a long day. I need to go to sleep. Dov Lipman says, he thought to himself, I'm sitting in the back of this cab and this guy's giving me a shiur on what language I should speak based on the Shorashim in the Torah. And he says, quote, not only did he not have a kippah, but he had multiple earrings and tattoos. Okay? But, so it's a great story. It's also a beautiful pshat. But then I was thinking, when I said Hanos and Le'ev Koach shortly thereafter, after teaching that over in the shiur, I thought, so what are we really saying here? Hanos and Le'ev Koach, we use the word Ya'if. We bless God for giving Koach to the Ya'if. So I was thinking to myself that maybe we are Ayif. Sometimes we're like Esav. We're impatient. We want to understand the Shem. We don't want to wait for the soup to be cooked. We need it right now. I need all the answers right now. But then the soup is still raw. It's not cooked. Hashem didn't work out his master plan for you. You want it before it's ready. We all have Esav with inside of us. And then we also have Amalek. What's Amalek? Mikra ba'olam. Amalek sees random happening in the world. Amalek sees negativity in other people. Amalek does not fear the Ribono Shel Olam. So Anosana of Korach, on the days when I feel like an Esav, I don't really mean nobody here is an Esav. Do you understand what we mean? We have elements of negativity with inside each one of us. On the days that we feel the Yetzer Hara of Esav, on the days that we feel, which is the impatience, the inability to wait, Rabbi Weinman from TAG explained that to the girls, that's who Esav represents. On days when I feel perhaps like an Amalek, Shem Shem Fahu says, what does V'lo Yarei Elokim mean? Notice it could mean you don't fear God and you don't see God. Lo yare elokim, says Rav Shem Shem Farish, because they didn't see God, they didn't fear God. So in the days when you feel like you don't see Hashem, so to speak, so dafka then we bless Hashem. Baruch atah Hashem akenu mecham hanosin lo ya'ef koch. When I feel like an Esav chalila, when I feel like a Malik, that's dafka when Hashem gives me koch to persevere. So look at the Ribbono Shel Olam, say master of the world. First of all, the story is fantastic. Second of all, I think, I humbly offer them insight. I think it leads to a very nice insight. Master of the world, you're my father. Help me overcome this Yetzer Hara. The fact that the Jews are father, no. The fact that Hashem is our father, second to last paragraph on page 50, is fixed in every believing Jew. Even if it is not integrated yet in the heart, the awareness that Hashem is our father is a well-known concept and can be used to awaken the soul. So I found this a very nice, impactful, more than very nice, powerful story. This book is called Portraits of Prayer. I've recommended it before. It's like short, powerful stories. It's put out by Israel Bookshop by Rabbi Abish. Rabbi Ezra Abish. Okay. So we're talking about the fact, last thing we said is that the fact that Hashem is our Father is fixed in every believing Jew. Even if it's not yet integrated in your heart, there's an awareness. It's a well-known concept. Use that, Avinu, you are my Father, to awaken your soul. So it tells the following story. Does anyone have questions or comments? Yeah, by the way. Okay. Years ago, when Nicholas I was Tsar of Russia, very famous, Jewish boys from the age of 8 would forcibly be separated from their families, made to live with Russian peasants for a few years. These drafted Jews came to be known as Cantonists. We can't fathom what life was like.
It was like an apprentice?
Say it again.
Was like being an apprentice to someone?
No,
they were conscripted to the Russian army for 25 years.
Oh my God.
They were kidnapped. They were taken from their homes.
Wow. That's horrible.
Yeah. These drafted Jews came to be known as Cantonists. They would be forced to work beyond their capabilities, in general exploited and abused. Once these young boys reached the age of 15, they were forced to abandon Yiddishkeit, compulsory service in the Russian army for 25 years. Those who tried to cling to their religion would be beaten and starved. You know, it's so interesting. I don't remember where I was. I remember where I was. I was in Costco on Tynus Esther. And I had shiur in the morning. I had to run to Costco for Purim things. I had to be at Tag at noon to pick up my daughter. I was very rushed and I was fasting. And I was walking by them giving out the free samples. Don't worry, I wasn't tempted to eat them. There's a point to the story. But I thought to myself, what would I really do? This is really what I thought in Costco on Tynus Esther. It's the day when Esther fasted because all the Jews were at the risk of extermination. And I'm not so far removed from it. My four grandparents, and here we're talking about those who, this is what I thought of it, those who tenaciously clung to their religion would be beaten and starved. I thought to myself when I was seeing those samples, what if I was pushing this baggie that I almost could not push, was so full, can I hurt? And I thought to myself, what if someone said to me, eat this or we're going to kill you for being a Jew? I thought, what would I do? I don't know. We live in such a different time. I'm telling you what thought went through my mind. I don't know what I would do. I thought, let's say, you know, they warm up hot caliente, the microwave says they're serving, I don't know, pork dumplings or whatever it is that they have over there. I thought to myself, like Lamaisa, like Matzias, like for real, if someone came to me with a gun and said, you're a Jew, either eat this pork dumpling or I'm going to kill you, I don't know what I would do. I hope I would choose not to eat it. I don't know. I just don't know. So, you know, we get so used to a little bit these stories, but we have to realize that the unbelievable amuna of our for me, my grandparents, the whole generation before that, who were subject to this terrible shas hadchak, shas hashmad, and shas hadchak, and were able to withstand. I don't know, it's a question that is compelling, and that's what entered my mind. Okay? Some did not make it out alive after serving their term in the Tsar's army. A rabid anti-Semite, the Tsars forbade the Jews to live in St. Petersburg, the capital city of Russia. There was only one shul in the entire city. It was for the Cantonists, who they had a special shul, who completed their 25 years in the army. They were permitted, you paid your due to Mother Russia, you were permitted to live in St. Petersburg. By the time they were discharged from the army, very few had any memories of what it actually meant to be a Jew. They would go to shul just to sit there and watch their fellow Jews daven as they tried to absorb some of the holiness of the place. First time we have this is in the Mishkan, in this week's parshas, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. There is some sort of sense of Kedusha. I saw Rabbi Forrest sent out an email, you know, the halacha email, the halacha hotline from Rabbi Forrest, that Jews should not make a minyan in a house for Megillas Esther if they're able to go hear it in a shul. There's the Kedusha Samakam. There's Brav Am Hadras Melech. I'm not passing on anything. I am repeating what went out in his email. A few Cantonists remembered how to daven. They would meet in shul on Shabbos and Yom Tov to daven together. Rav Yitzchak Achan Inspector and Rav Naftali Tzvi Ruh Berlin and Atziv Zchusa Miyagin Eleinu went to St. Petersburg. They went to petition the government not to enforce an anti-Semitic law that had just been passed. The appointment to meet with the governor was Erev Yom Kippur. They were aware that the mission was Pikuach Nefesh and they were going to be in St. Petersburg in this shul on Yom Kippur. They went to the one shul to daven. The Cantonists recognized immediately these were holy people. And they asked them to daven for the Amud. However, when they reached Ne'ilah, the Cantonists motioned to the distinguished guest. They should not lead in prayer, excuse me. One of the Cantonists would be the Chazan. One of the Cantonists limped to the Amud to daven. The shul was quiet. And before he began Kaddish, he said, Hashem, when a Yid davens you by Ne'ilah, what does he daven for? He davens for children, for life, for livelihood. What can we daven for? For children? We were not able to marry, we're too old. For life, our lives are torturous. We would rather be dead than continue living with bruised and battered bodies. For livelihood, we get other food and clothing from the Tsar. What do we can't in his daven for by Ne'ilah? One thing, one request. And then he lifted his voice, Yiskada v'yiskada shmei Rabba, may his great name be exalted and sanctified. So every believing Jew, even if it's not yet integrated to the heart, there is an awareness that Hashem is our Father. It's a well-known concept. Then you know, oh, what is that? Nothing. It's just dust. Sorry. How would I do with the not kosher candle, piece of dust flying on me? You know, we live in such a time of comfort, even though it seems that the times are, Rahman al-Atsan, changing. Should bring you a quote, Bli Nidar, I probably won't remember, but if someone emails me, what Rav Shem Shem Pika says in a Torah V'Kinyana, about how the times change for the dues. He says there's food in the refrigerator, there are shear, and we live in comfort, but he says we have to know Hashem changes the times. Baba Maisa, I have to ask myself, oh, my, that was my emuna. I'm not talking about you, I'm not just talking about me. I was not even planning to say this in class, okay? This was me going through Costco, that's what it's not planning to say this. What level is my emunah? Is it so deep and complex? Or is it just emunah peshuta, without the thought process and the complicated calculations and understanding, panaya, choray, this way, that way, just like pasha. Eat this damn thing, or because you're a Jew, or it's your life, I don't know. And again, this isn't psak halacha, obviously. It's a hashkafic, powerful thought that I said to myself. I don't know. But Hashem is our Father. And that is it. That has to awaken my soul. I can't have him for livelihood, said the candidates. I can't have him for children. I can't have him for family. I don't have to daven for food and clothing. What should I daven for? Yiskado v'yiskado shmei rabba. Your great name should be exalted and holy. That's my Father. If a person takes a simple fact, and does anyone have questions or comments? If a person takes a simple fact and analyzes it in depth, he loses simplicity, and I think we're giving some examples of that. He falls from the level of soul to the level of body. If you remember, previous chapter spoke about how the level of the soul, the speech of the soul, is softer and more pure than the speech of the body. To awaken the soul, each person must take the simplest facts and repeat them, not with intellectual analysis, with a basic understanding that these are true facts. Henny Machlis would say, Ha'amanti ki adaber, I believe, Ha'amanti, amuna ki adaber, because I spoke, and she would say, I'm going to say it over and over until I believe her. And emes, you have to come to the true facts. What is the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Chosmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chotmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is emes. The Aleph Beis is Aleph Mem Tav. The world was created with the Aleph Beis. The Torah was created with the Aleph Beis. The seal of the Ribono Shel Olam is emes. Real feeling and clarity. Conditions for uncovering the soul. I just want to see if I want to say something for you. 1 second, please, ladies. Yes. All right, before we go to the next chapter. Okay. The Chasam Sofer writes, now it's on Purim, but it's going to lead to Amuna. Many things happen in the world, and you wonder, why is Hashem doing it? Which is really what we're talking about, Amuna Peshuta. Years later, we said this, based on the Parsha, right? Panisi, panai lo yareyu, you can't see my face, me'achorei, but only from behind. But years later, we understand that everything was for a good purpose. Something good, you know, it's so interesting. I told two Gams of the Torah stories over at the Shabbos table the other week. I said to my husband, these two things really happened. I really saw after Gams of the Torah. And then when something in work happened that I felt frustrated about subsequently, that I'd been frustrated about in the past, I mamish was not frustrated. I think I said it here already. I was not frustrated. I felt like, I know it's Gams of the Torah, but the cutest part of the story is, the other day we had to be at the dentist, and my daughter told me, I want to tell you a Gams of the Torah story. She said she had to go get ready. There was no hot water. She came off the tram. There was no hot water for her shower. She was, it's Gams of the Torah. Otherwise, she might have taken too long if she had hot water. She's Canada 13. She would have taken too long, but she realized she had to go fast. My point is that we spoke about last week, but you have to plant a tree, real tree, to make a new tree. Remember? You have to have real fruit to make a new tree. So the way that we interact and speak about and believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam is what our children pick up. But sometimes we only understand it in retrospect. This is what happened in Purim. Vashti was killed. Esther was brought to the palace. The events lead to the salvation of Klal Yisrael. They believe it was for a certain good purpose. 1 second. The Bnei Yisaschar, and this is very powerful to me, teaches genuine emunah, which this whole sefer is a sefer of Amuna. I woke up in the middle of the night last week, I wasn't thinking of Amuna. I thought, what am I supposed to be thinking about in the middle of the night? Amuna. The Bnei Yisaschar Zatzal teaches, genuine Amuna is specifically to believe in Hashem during times of Hester Panim. That's called Amuna. When Hashem's kindness and presence is concealed. When there are miracles. When Hashem's presence is revealed in the world. When you understand what's going on, Bnei Yisaschar says, and Rabbi Biderman quotes, that's not called Amunah. Isn't that unbelievable? What's it called? It's not called faith. What is it?
Knowledge.
What?
Knowledge.
Beautiful. You read it? I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you. You're exactly correct. When there are miracles and Hashem's presence in the world is revealed, when you understand everything, it's not Amunah. You know what it is? Knowledge. Beautiful. Amuna is faith when I don't understand. That's to have true amuna, and it's so powerful. It's just, that's why I said, what would I do if they said to me, you have to eat this? I don't know. Because we live in a time where it's good. Yes, there's difficulties also, but we do see lemaisa Hashem. We live in a comfortable time. We live in a good society. We live in a chesed-filled society, a Torah-filled society. That what?
There are many, like we go to the bookstore and they're just books on
Amuna. I can't hear.
There are a million books.
There's so many books on Amuna. Every day another book on Amuna is coming out. Obviously, that's the struggle of our generation. Why are these people, like, I keep thinking everybody has it except me. I'm the only one who needs this book, but obviously there are other people that are seeking it also, because why are they writing these books?
There's so many books on Amuna.
So what are you saying? There for what?
No, I'm just saying that if you go to a bookshop, the most books are on Amuna.
But there for what?
Because this generation, obviously, the writers weren't writing it, but that's our challenge.
It is. But it's because it has to do with everything. Like, we live in a generation where, like, pictures are, didn't happen. Like, if you didn't post it, people don't know about it. If people can't see it when they're not there, then it doesn't exist. Like, if you go to a wedding and go with a post night, and then what
else? That what?
If you go to a wedding and no one has posted it, then
if you go to a wedding
and no one posted a picture, then it didn't really happen. Because everything has to be posted, and pictures of everything.
So therefore, oh, interesting. You mean today everyone has to see everything, to believe everything.
Right. Like, everybody has to be from Kansas.
It's interesting. Okay.
Well, Malki just said that she read a shidduch, and because the girl is not on Facebook, the boy will not
go out with her. She must be weird. She must be extremely weird.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I think you've got to be kidding me. For not being on Facebook.
Are you serious?
Now I
would think it should be the opposite.
Yes,
I would think he should want to go out with her if she's not on Facebook.
Yes. That's what I think.
Is this a true story? It's not normal.
I have spoken about it.
True story.
So what did you say?
It's not by the B'nai Yisrael. It's by Malki.
So what did you say?
He said, this is a very weird girl, and if she doesn't post, then how do I believe the stuff on her? And,
so you just
know.
See, that's what she... What's her name?
Joanne,
right. That's what Joanne just said. We live in a generation where everyone needs to see everything. So it affects our Amuna as a cloud. Because if we can't see Hashem, and this week's parsha tells us, we can't see Hashem. Ki lo yir ani Adam v'chai, you can't see me. So then we have a failing in Amuna. Yeah, Shani, whoa, that's really scary. Wait. First of all, wait. I only want a time, go.
You can't believe everything you see either, because not everything you see is real. So there's a huge conundrum in reality and in perception, and people are very confused.
So that's the whole, this discussion is really the whole godless of Megillas Esther, that we couldn't see Hashem. But just because we couldn't see Hashem doesn't mean he's not there. And at the end of the day, Lamaisa, we did see Hashem, and he saved us. But why are people more confused now? I don't understand that. We could never see Hashem. We never lived in a time where we could see Hashem.
It's brought down at the end of
time. I'm not talking about in temple times. I'm talking about since Churban Beis HaMikdash for 2,000 years. Galus. Why did you say hi? I didn't hear.
It's brought down that before Mashiach comes, the people are going to work very hard. I don't know the language. I don't know where, but... It's brought down that a person's going to have to hold on tight, like the rope from like the anchor from the boat. I don't know if anyone knows the language. You know when a boat comes to shore and you need to anchor it. Chevel
Mashiach.
Right, so that's what it's going to be like. Like you have to like really hold on tight.
Okay. Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't talk about Mashiach because I don't know.
Find out there is a source.
So I saw, I think it was Rabbeinu, no, maybe not, I don't remember where I saw it brought down, that we usually translate eights. No, it might be Rabbi Pesach Kuhn's new book, I forget who we quoted. Eights, we always say eights, Chaim hi l'machazikim ba, and we translate eights as a tree of life to all who hold on to it. We spoke about trees last week. But tree doesn't mean Eitz doesn't mean tree. Eitz actually means?
Wood?
What?
Wood.
Eitz means wood. So the mashal is compared to a man who's drowning or who's flailing in the churning water. You throw them a beam, grab on. That's what Torah is. When you're drowning, hold on. You don't throw them a tree when someone's in the water. You throw them a lifeline of a strong branch. Hold on. You know, you stand on one side with the branch and they grasp onto the other side. And that's how you try and save the person, which really relates to what you just said. You have to hold on in a very strong way. It's a tremendous challenge then of our generation to find Hashem, especially because as we have the Yeridas Hadorah, as we move farther and farther away from Sinai and deeper into the Gulf, it's harder and harder to perceive the Ribono Shel Olam, perhaps. Well, and as the society becomes more and more impure, it's scary, yeah?
Well, I also think it's pretty amazing. In the year 2017, they still got the weather forecast wrong.
That they still what? 2017, what?
In 2017, they got the weather forecast wrong.
No,
they got it wrong.
No, they had it right. They just decided not to publicize that it wasn't going to be such a bad storm.
They didn't want to tell people. I could send you the link. They knew. It was on Yeshiva World News. That's where I get all my news.
They downgrade.
No, the forecast.
They knew. You know, it's a good example of the storm.
How? One
second.
They decided not to publicize it because they said, first of all, sleet and freezing rain is bad.
That's
they
true.
Wanted to keep people off the road.
They also
said that it also would be the reverse.
They call it the windshield wiper effect.
Yes, the windshield.
They don't want to go back and forth. Get it, pun intended. They're weather people, windshield wiper. They don't want to go back and forth. It will confuse people. Like, how nonsense are we? I can't know. I can't downgrade from 30 inches to 3 inches. My sister in law texts me. She's like, what kind of blizzard is this? Okay. But I think it's a good example. What?
I got 14.
Where?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. Okay. So first of all, two things. Ladies, my husband came home yesterday from Shul after Mincha Marv. So he said, you know, we always blame the weather people. I know this is a little funny, but we're going to tie it into our learning. He said, so Simon and Shul said, you know, so they were off by a few miles. There were places that got 30 inches. Mansi was slammed, New Ishaz. So, like, it's the weather. They were Lamaisa accurate. Second of all, it really does show us that seeing is believing. We want to see everything in a concrete fashion. We grasp onto the news. You know, sometimes the door knocks, and I think to myself, do I wait for Mashiach? Like, I wait for that knock on the door. Like, I believe everything they tell me. I prepare. The supermarkets are so packed. Why? Because the weatherman said there's going to be a blizzard. Am I following Torah? We follow them like it's halacha l'moshe misinai. You couldn't find parking. The gourmet got law. I'm not saying we don't have to do our hishtadlus, but we also have to be seichodik. And when it's hard to find Hashem, it poses a big problem. And then the bookstores, ladies, come on. And then the bookstores are full of books on Emunah. Rav Salvechik speaks about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zchuso Yagen Aleinu. He says he didn't have Musar's farm. He didn't have a library. He had the Shas. Oh, he had Chumash. He had Shas. He had, I don't remember, it's not in front of me, the Sefer. He had Shulchan Aruch. He says that was his Mr. Sefer. What did he have? He had Torah. So look at this. With the Yeridas Hadorah, I'm not saying we shouldn't buy them. I also can buy and try and read what I can. But it shows you how needy we are in terms of Ruchnius, perhaps. And on the other hand, it strengthens us for our need. I don't know. What?
We can't do just black and white. Like my mother, they read the Senorena. Or Tehillim, and she didn't, you know, and that was it. That was, she said, really away. I said, yeah, oh, okay. You know,
that what?
It was so simple.
Like, Soha! Here's a wonderful example of a very simple idea. Awaken the soul. Hashem, you are our father. Just say a kapitel of Tehillim. I need to buy books and stand on my head to understand. I'm supposed to believe in the Ribono Shel Olam. It's unbelievable. Okay, ladies, let's go. Okay. So that was all in the B'nai Yisachar, what he says, okay? Yediya is when Hashem is revealed. You just know. That's not Amunah, he says. Amunah is dafka during times of Hester Panim, when his presence and kindness is concealed. When you are confused, the Erev Rav came, and the Satan made Irbuvia Bala Olam. Notice that Erev Rav and Irbuvia and Erev are all the same Sharashim, times of confusion. And look how fast Knesset Yisrael fell. Excuse me, they just heard Anochi Hashem El Kacha, and then there was a sense of Irbuvia, which is confusion, by the Erev Rav, lots of darkness. Erev is night. It was a very difficult time on how quickly they fell. So it's a pattern for what can happen to us if we're not on guard. Real feeling and clarity, conditions for uncovering the soul. We will summarize. We made 2 points about the nature of the soul. The soul can sense Hashem. We're on page 51, ladies. The soul can sense Hashem as a reality as opposed to the intellect, which is when we say we start running into trouble, which knows there's a creator but doesn't sense him. And that's true. The neshama comes from Hashem. The neshama is going back to Hashem. It's the neshama that connects to Hashem. The soul relates to a clear world. To awaken the soul, you must fulfill 2 conditions. First of all, clarify to yourself that to the extent possible, the fact you are pondering is true. Hashem is Emes. Moshe Emes, Soraso Emes, Chos Moshel Kosh Baruch Hu is Emes. Hashem is our Father. Just as one recognizes his physical father, so too in the spiritual world you should contemplate and reach the awareness Hashem is your father. The same way you have a physical father, you have a spiritual father. I forget which book it's brought down in. I read it a number of years ago, but it's very powerful. There's a mashal given in Do We Recognize Our Father? It could be one of Rabbi Pesach Cohen's book, but I really can't quote that. I don't remember. Don't quote that. Maybe it was Zilberstein. I don't remember where it's brought down. But there was a boy who became very sick. Became very ill, and he started to lose his faculties. So as he became more and more ill, they called his classmates in to come see him. And he looked at his classmates, and he said, "Father, who are these boys?" And the father said, "These are your classmates." And he didn't know who they were. And the next week, his brother comes into the room, and he says, "Father, who is that?" No, his uncle. "Father, who is that?" He says, "It's your uncle, my son." The next week, his brother comes into the room, and he says, "Father, who is this?" His father says, "It's your brother." And finally, the father comes into the room, and the boy looks at him, and he says, "Who are you?" The father starts crying, and he says, "I'm your father." And it was a mashal that was given for, again, our relationship to Ribbono Shel Olam. Do we recognize who the Ribbono Shel Olam is to us? In the same way we have a physical father, the Mechaber says, so too in the spiritual realm, we have to reach the awareness that Hashem is the same father in a spiritual realm. Even more so, because he gives us our physicality and our spirituality. Indeed, Chazal say in the Gemara Masechas Nida, he gives us the source. There are 3 partners in the creation of man. There's Hashem, one's father, and one's mother. But the truth is, there's only 1 partner in the creation of man. Because without Hashem, we would all not be here. The parents supply the physical limbs, but really Hashem supplies the physical limbs, and Hashem breathes in the soul of life. We'll just finish the last paragraph. The body recognizes its physical father. Precisely, the soul should recognize it as a spiritual father. But the soul already knows this deep down, but the knowledge is dormant. The Cantonists are still able to say, Yiskalav, Yiskalav, Shmei Rabbah. Where's that even coming from? What do they even know? What upbringing did they have? They certainly didn't have what we have, and they're still able to say that. To awaken and uncover the soul, one must internalize the awareness. The spiritual father, he's repeating, is as every bit as real as the physical father. I'm going to end with 1 thought. 2 lines from Moshe Tursky. In addition, one should not have doubtful lineage, not realizing who this father is. So in regard to Yichus, I am just going to share.
We should all say that we all come from the same father. I'm not sure why you're into this or that or the other thing, or I'm only looking for this kind of Yichus. We all stem from the same.
What did you say?
I said we all stem from, I mean, we should really use this for
Yichus. Say it again.
We should use this for Shiduchim, for Yichus. We all come from the same Yichus.
Oh, so listen to this story. Very, very interesting. Okay, here we go. I'm quoting Rabbi Akiva Bergman, actually. Okay, one Shabbos, I was invited to join the Tversky's for a meal. Rabbi's father was visiting from America and was also present then. During the meal, one of the young Tversky boys began to talk excitedly about his superlative Yichus on both sides of the family. Rabbi asked his son to bring him a Gemara Maseches Menachos. He opened it up to a particular daf and showed Rafael, his son, his young boy at the time, based on what it says there, ancestry is a responsibility, not a gift. Rabbi then used the opportunity to empower his son to live up to the ideals of his heritage. But then he turned to Akiva Bergman as well and he said, "You too are a descendant of the Avos HaKadoshim. You have the same responsibility." So we all have the same Yechas. It's exactly true what you just said. We all came from Ribbono Shel Olam. We all came from the Avos HaKadoshim, who my physical real fathers go back generations. We should have no doubtful lineages in realizing who our father is. In the physical realm, it is generally perfectly clear to a person who his father is. It should be so clear in the spiritual realm. Unfortunately, it's a big struggle. Without this degree of clarity, the soul cannot be awakened. So Bezos Hashem, we should have a Matzliach week with all the books on Emuna, without all the books on Emuna, just simple clarity. And if anybody's read a Sharach and the person's not on Facebook.
Thank you.
please consider it. Now, but Hashem should really give us the siyata, the shmai, and clarity that we desperately need. Have a wonderful week, ladies, and a good Shabbos. Yeah.